If you have your Bible, I'm in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 11. We're going to look at, as we begin, several verses here today, but just at verses 2 and 3 of Matthew 11. And the title of the sermon is, Are You Looking for Another? This is applicable for all of us here. Are you looking for another? Matthew 11, 2 and 3. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we would ask that you would help us to see you as king and sovereign, and so much bigger than ourselves. Father, we would ask that you would help us to enthrone Jesus Christ today, and that we ourselves would surely be those who take ourselves off the throne of our own lives. Help us to worship this day. Whatever our standing, whatever our plight, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you looking for another? The great New Testament scholar and commentator F.F. Bruce wrote that John the Baptist, by this time, had been in prison long enough to develop what he calls prison mood. And brothers and sisters, it is from that sort of prison mood that words such as these spill forth. From John, from you, from me. From that sort of prison mood spill forth words like, Are you he that is to come? Speaking to our Lord? Or do we look for another? Imagine that. These questionings coming from the one who proclaimed in John 1 and 29, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He repeated the same in John 1 and 36, Behold the Lamb of God. Remember, it was the great John the Baptist who once said in John chapter 3 and verse 30, You know what? He must increase and I must decrease. I wonder if you remember over in the summertime there where we started a sermon with those redneck jokes. You might be a redneck if. Well, for today is, you might be in a prison mood if. You might be in a prison mood if you too are questioning Jesus. Also looking for another. All such questionings always reveal us than they do about Him. Remember, as we learn in Hebrews 13 and 8, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we look at this passage here, I want us to see, first of all, that there's no real condemnation given here to John. Nor is there any such for us if we are in a prison mood and questioning. What there was for John and what there is for us is reassurance and hope. All ends well for John eternally. Yet there is so much here for us to kind of have to work through, to have to walk through, even as there was a whole bunch for him as he sat in prison to walk through and to work through. According to Matthew 11 and 2, he's in prison. And you know what? He never, ever gets out. Who could blame him for needing some reassurance? Without question, at a minimum, he would be working through, what kind of Messiah is this? After all, John was the one who announced the coming of Jesus as the one who, you know what? He's going to set forth justice in the earth. He's going to make things right. Remember Matthew in chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, when he came on the scene and he said that the Messiah is going to come, I'm preparing the way, and you know what? This one is going to take the axe to the root of the trees. He's going to cut them down. He's going to cast them into fire in verse 12 of the same passage. Jesus is seen as thoroughly purging God's threshing floor and burning up the chaff. Now, of course, we all know there to be a eschatological component to the coming of Christ. Isaiah 61, it talks about Him coming, and yeah, He would come, and there'd be vengeance there, but there'd also be comfort. Well, guess what? At this moment in John's life, Jesus is neither. None of this is working out for John. All of these different facets of the diamond that Jesus is have been matters that all men have had to deal with. In the movie Jesus of Nazareth, there's a scene where Pilate is interviewing Jesus, and he's just stupefied by Jesus' responses to him. And stupefied even more by some of the times when Jesus doesn't respond to him at all. And he looks at Jesus, he circles him in the movie there, and he says, "Who are you?" He says, "What are you?" In the same movie, there's a scene where Peter, who is, you know, Mr. Rough and Tumble, and he wants, you know, off with their heads to all the bad guys. Certainly off with their heads for all of the Roman tax collectors. Peter was a swashbuckler. And we see Peter there, and momentarily he seems to be mocking Jesus' response to Levi. Remember, Levi's a tax collector. He is one of those blood-sucking tax collectors. Doesn't get any worse than that. And Peter wants Jesus to knock his head off, to kick butt, to chew him up and to spit him out. And Peter says, all Jesus could do was play nice. Well, let's be kind to him. Maybe we should invite him over for dinner. Let's act with gentleness and grace and kindness toward him. And welcoming Matthew. And Peter's there and he's just seething. How can Jesus speak so agreeably to this greedy bloodsucker? Inviting him to dinner together and then adding insult to injury. Peter, why don't you come and join us? John the Baptist, like Peter, was looking for justice, and for him at that moment, that meant immediate vengeance upon his enemies, especially the Romans. And here, John the Baptist sits in prison. What kind of Messiah lets that happen? What kind of Messiah lets that happen? And as is so common, we judge Jesus completely in terms of our own particular circumstances. Things really appear to be going really south in a hurry for John. He's in prison. And he has word. He understands what's going out there in the culture. He's following. He's able, through his connections, to keep track of Jesus' ministry. But he's just sitting there in prison, and Jesus, from outward appearances, is no more than a homeless vagabond with about a dozen disciples. Many are no longer following him. If we look at John 6 and 66, we see there were marked times by this time in Jesus' ministry where people were walking away from him. Perhaps more walking away from him than those who were walking toward him. Added to that, the authorities are becoming increasingly hostile. And so for John, the prison mood really sets in deeply. Are you him? Or are we supposed to look for another? Matthew 11 and verse 3. Here in verse 3, the word another is very, very revealing. There's a Greek word, and the Greek word is allon, and it's common for the translation, the word we get, another. And it simply means the next one up. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but during the time before Christ, and certainly after Christ, but before Christ, there were many false messiahs. They were coming by the handfuls. Many of them had emerged. We can read Acts in chapter 5 and verses 36 and 37. And we can read about after the time of Christ that as Gamaliel was advising what the Jews should do because of the Messiah Jesus who had arose, he remembers the days right before the time of Jesus when Thaddeus was there and he pretended to be something, you know, something big and glorious, but that didn't work out. And then after that, Judas of Galilee was there and many people went after him and these things had a way of working themselves out. The point is there was another Messiah, another Messiah, another Messiah. Josephus says there was about at least a dozen of them in the days right before the coming of Christ. And of course, we know that there have been them since him as well. But that word allon in the Greek, the word translated another, just means, you know, another in a long series, another in a line. In sports, there's this common and popular expression, next man up. And that's a good thing in the sports world. The idea is that each guy basically is as good as the next, and you know, if one guy goes down, you got somebody he can fill. Next guy up, another guy. Common word is found showing this sameness, this same replaceability. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 23, it talks about how, you know, when they persecute you in this city, well, just go on to the next one. That's allon. Just a replacement, another one. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 27, it talks about men doing things with men, just another guy. Doesn't matter who he is, just another guy. Sameness. But the word another here in Matthew 11 and 3 is not allon. Here we have a different word. Our translation is the same. We get the word another here. But the word in the Greek here in Matthew 11 and 3 is the word heteron. We get a word like heterosexual from it. A man is different from a woman. A woman is different from a man. They're different. They're another, but they're different. Allon is the same. Next man up. Just put in a replacement. Heteron is another, but a different one. And so John is not suggesting here, or not suspecting that he might merely need another Messiah. What John is expressing here is his desire for a different one. A better one. Someone who's going to help me in my problem. And so he's expressing this desire for this different one. One who in his eyes would be a better one. And these things are always viewed through our own myopic, poor vision views of what we think is best for us. No doubt, John felt that getting out of prison was best for him. Therefore, he wanted a different, a better, a heteron Messiah. Just to show you other usages of heteron, we'll take a look at Mark 16. You can see the difference here. After that, he appeared in another form, heteron. Whole different thing. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, we also see another, this use of the word heteron here. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto heteron gospel, another gospel, which really is no gospel if we were to look at that whole passage here. It's a false gospel. It's an inferior gospel. It's really no gospel. It's really not good news. Heteron, different. And so the desire for a hetero gospel and a hetero Messiah is not new. John the Baptist himself had it. And it also, sadly, is very commonplace in our culture. Many people claim their own customized Christ. Let's just take some input here and, like silly putty, let's put together the Messiah that we want. The one who's going to fix our problem. The one who's going to get us out of that prison cell. The one that's going to cure my cancer. People claim their own hetero, customized Christ. They seek out a designer deliverer just for them. But brothers and sisters, John is granted no such hetero Messiah. Jesus reassures John that he is the Messiah of Scripture. 4 and 5, go show John again the things you see and hear. And in verse 5, we read about the blind receive the sight, lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised. Jesus was doing these things. If we looked in a parallel passage, which we won't today, but over in Luke in chapter 7, we would see that Jesus was performing these things even as his disciples were there. The disciples of John had gone to see and to report. And this is precisely how the Old Testament reading in Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, from Isaiah, depict Christ. Jesus was doing those very things. And so John is reassured that this is the Messiah, this is the Savior, this is the Christ of Scripture. Not a customized Christ, not a designer deliverer for me. Back in Matthew 11 and verse 6, Jesus then encourages John, and really all of us, to not be offended if and as he turns out not to be your designer deliverer, your customized Christ, your hetero Messiah. We, like John, all have these skewed, personalized conceptions of who Jesus is and how he should act. And all of them, far too frequently, are centered around us and our perceived needs and desires. The news flash of the day is this. Jesus positively responding to your perceived needs and desires does not constitute a referendum on his existence or his messiahship. Jesus not positively responding to what I want him to do right now does not constitute a referendum on his existence or his messiahship. John needed to learn that lesson. As great as a man as he was, he still needed to learn that lesson. According to this verse, Matthew 11 and 6, we are blessed as we are removed from such thinking. The thinking that says, you know, Jesus is Lord if he does this, that, and the other thing precisely how I want it done and when I want it done. No, the scriptures show us a Messiah that's not centered on me. Jesus is Lord whether I rot in prison or I am miraculously released from prison. John was not miraculously released from prison, as Peter was. I ask you today, are you looking for another? Don't look for another. He, she, or it won't be better. Any other than Jesus will only be inferior and false and a deception. Think about it. How cheap, how small, how foolish to seek for a Messiah serving only our own small, selfish interests. Jesus calls us to be beyond all of that. John the Baptist to be beyond all of that. In Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 1, a prophet and more. Think about what that means in light of the New Testament reading that we had from James. Remember James chapter 5 and verse 10? Take my brethren, the prophets. So there's John, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Now, we got this idea that a prophet is someone who, you know, they got God by the tail, and, you know, they can just, you know, God does whatever they want him to do. John is included in this group. We could include Isaiah in this group. Do you know what happened to Isaiah? The Bible doesn't tell us, but history, tradition tells us that the enemies of God put him in a hollowed out log and they sawed him in half. What is it for us to do? Take, brethren, the prophets. Like John. Remember, I say unto you, what did you go out to see? A prophet, even more than a prophet. Who are the prophets? The prophets are those who have spoken in the name of the Lord, and they were examples of suffering affliction and of patience. Can you suffer affliction and be patient just like John? More than that, in Matthew 11 and 11, somehow in this fascinating, complex, and perplexing verse, and it is, we end up emerging as those who are even greater than John. I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Nevertheless, notwithstanding, he, you and I, that is least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he. God wants us to aspire to be like the prophet John the Baptist, who suffered affliction and who ended up being patient and wasn't delivered. Jesus calls us to be like John. And somehow we emerge as those who are even greater than John. And so, brothers and sisters, do not abide. Do not stay. And certainly do not die in a prison mood. A prison mood which has you looking and longing for another. Two great Christmas songs carry a better mood. One of them is, Mary, Did You Know? And it asks and it answers all those great questions about our wonderful Savior. And then there's another great Christmas song which carries that better mood. And it's, What Child Is This? And it climaxes with this injunction. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. As we look at that verse, we see, as it says in the beginning, so bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king. You know what that means? That means if you're the poorest of the poor, or you're the richest of the riches, or you're the sick person, or you're the healthy person, or what, pick what it is that's bugging you. Pick what it is that puts you in that prison mood. We are enjoined in this song to offer our best gifts to him and to come to him. whether we're pagan, whether we're king, or whether we're free, and own him, and let our loving heart enthrone him. Father God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you're bigger than us. We thank you, Lord, that your plan, while it includes us, your existence, the affirmation of who you are as Savior, God, Lord, and King, is not dependent upon our whim and our wishes and what we think is best for us. Lord, help us to glorify you. Father, we think of those great saints from Hebrews in chapter 11 and those who did not accept deliverance. They received a better resurrection. Father, we ask that you would help us in all of these things and that we would not be those who are seeking another, seeking a homemade, customized Christ, a designer deliverer. Help us bend the knee. Help us worship you wherever you have us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.